Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Dr. Zeke Emanuel, author of Reinventing American Healthcare. Zeke, you point out in your book that a successful systems or website implementation really rests on execution and management. The botched rollout of healthcare.gov illustrates that and underscores it. Could you elaborate on why this is the case and what can be learned from this?
Well, look, I mean, if you're running an e-commerce site, if you're running a startup, you're constantly thinking, all right, how am I going to get to my customers? What do my customers want? How do I make their experience shopping with me as opposed to the next guy better? So that's a kind of mentality. If you're running a government program, you said, all right, here's the rules of the program. You come to me. That is not conducive, it seems to me, to worrying about, you know, how do I expand market share? How do I increase people's satisfaction? There are a lot of things that need to be done. It turns out that an exchange is, again, much more than just a website. But the website is important. The customer shopping experience is important. The ability to compare, not just on premium that I'll actually pay, so I know that my subsidy level and I know not just the sticker price, but the actual price I'm going to pay is very important. But similarly, I want to know what's my total out-of-pocket expense likely to be across the year. Now, you can't pinpoint it because we don't know what illnesses I could possibly get, but we know what's likely. How much healthcare did I use in the last year? Do I have a chronic problem? How many medications do I? We can actually make reasonable predictions. So we need to develop those algorithms to help people shop. That's on the front end. And we need, by the way, to make the shopping experience under 30 minutes and preferably even under 20 minutes for people who are straightforward and single. On the other hand, you know, you've got to work with the insurance companies to get them to offer, you know, the best products possible, to think innovatively about the kind of offerings they're going to have. You want to work with them to make sure that the information exchange going back and forth is smooth and seamless, so everyone's working from the same page and they're not getting flawed, these 834 forms. So there's a lot to do, constant work both with the customer, with the insurance companies, with the providers. You want to get more insurance companies competing in the marketplace to drive down prices. So I think, you know, these are complex organizations and you can't run them like the bureaucracy runs things, which is, you know, tends to be, you know, people are going to come to us. We're giving a service to people. People are coming to us. We have to run them like, you know, we need to attract those people to because our product is better. And I think that's a very big sort of just attitudinal difference.
Zeke, it is possible to bounce back from a flawed website rollout, but you note that this is only possible if relentless focus on execution becomes a reality. Could you describe to us why that's the case?
Well, look, I mean, I think one of these things is, I mean, we know that personnel is absolutely vital here, and having good management is absolutely necessary. Doesn't mean it's sufficient to have a great exchange, but it's absolutely necessary. And without it, it's very hard to see how you're going to have a great exchange. So just look, when you put Jeff Zients in charge of the rescue of the federal exchange, a good manager brought in a SWAT team, and in, you know, a handful of weeks was able to convert something which was a veritable disaster into a reasonably well operating, not great, I mean, it wasn't Zappos, reasonably well operating website. Now that's an important transformation, and I would have thought that the number one lesson from that was you got to get good management who can identify the problems, prioritize them, get the right people to solve those problems, and it shows that if you do that, you actually can have success. You also need a highly talented tech team. He got the best and the brightest who were donating their time because they believed in this activity and they believed in the president. So those are two items that you clearly need, but it does show you. I mean, the fact that they were able to turn it around shows you. And again, I think part of the big psychology of running this thing that needs to occur is we need to run it absolutely obsessed by the customer experience. That has got to be the number one, two, and three, taken in the broadest sense, not just their experience on the website, but what are the products we're offering to them? Does it meet their needs? You know, what needs do they have, even if they don't know what those needs are? So I think all of that is vitally important to going forward.
Zeke, how will we know if the transformation is happening? And more importantly, what metrics can we follow to assess the success or failure of the healthcare reform initiatives?
Well, I mean, again, I think just go back to the three big issues, and I'll add a fourth. So the three big issues are access to care. Let's begin with that. By 2020, are we going to get all the Americans who want to have health insurance? So on that score, we're going to have to look at things like Medicaid expansion. You know, we have a number of states, over 20 states, that still haven't expanded Medicaid. Virginia's having a rollicking debate at the moment. What is going to happen over time with that expansion? As I've said, I believe by the end of the decade, all the states will be on board, tracking the number of states that begin to adopt the Medicaid expansion, whether in the traditional Medicaid mode or through permitting the people who they're expanding to go onto the exchange and buy private insurance. I don't think it much matters, but we need that. Similarly, on the exchange, you know, we've already passed one big hurdle that I identified in the book, which is, are we going to pass the 7 million mark of people who sign up in the first open enrollment period? We got to 8 million, which, you know, I predicted we'd be over 7 million, which was a risky prediction when the book went to press in December. And, you know, that's occurred. The question is, by 2016, how many do we have? The CBO thinks there will be 22 million. Will we exceed that number? Will we get over 30 million? And then by the end of the decade, you know, the CBO thinks there will be 25 million or some number like that. And I think it's going to be way higher than that, at least double that, and possibly much higher. And a lot will depend upon how will we handle the employers and others who want to come in. You know, so I think that's a very important set of metrics. On the quality side, you know, it's in my view, you know, we have a set of things that we really, really care about. Hospital readmission policies, that has to go down below 15% and maybe below 12.5%. These hospital-acquired infections and other problems, you know, when the Affordable Care Act was being debated, you know, your chance of getting a hospital-acquired infection if you were admitted to the hospital was 1 in 20. That number has to be cut in half by the end of the decade, if not more. And I think we really, really want to drive those numbers way down. And I also think another element, which I haven't mentioned yet, is the whole issue of electronic health records, EHRs. You know, that's, again, by itself, it won't transform the system, but it's a necessary building block to transforming the healthcare system. And we want that to be present in every hospital, every physician's office, every pharmacy, every urgent care facility. And we want it to actually be able to exchange information between all the different systems. I mentioned in the book that I think the real test is, can I, Zeke Emanuel, get all of my medical records from all of my providers myself? Because if I can get it at my computer, right, over the internet, then every provider can get it, and we'll know that the system can have real interchange and my record can be available anywhere. That, I think, is a very important test, and we need to have that happen before the end of the decade. And then on cost control, I think it's just, you know, I've said this over and over. I think that the real goal is, by the end of the decade, 2020, healthcare costs have to grow no faster than the economy per person. So per capita GDP growth is where we need healthcare spending growth. So we're not consuming more and more and more of the economy. I think that ought to be a goal. I think that's a goal I've published a number of places, including in the book. And I think it's where we really need to aspire to. If we can achieve that, it transforms the whole budget issue. It transforms a lot of the talk about state budgets. It becomes a major victory for the country and a major victory for the Affordable Care Act. And by the way, you know, it's not, you know, I say in the book, it's not all about health care. It's also about the health of the country. And we need to look at some serious metrics about the health of the country. I don't emphasize, you know, how long people are living, but I do think, you know, this obesity issue, we know that's vitally important. We have to reduce the obesity in the country. 50% cuts in the obesity rate, I think, are kind of what we need to be looking at. And again, you know, the First Lady's goal of ending obesity in a generation, that's by 2030. I think we need some intermediate goals, 2025, to sort of significantly reduce our obesity rate. I think we have an infant mortality rate, which is horrible, 5.9 infants die per 1,000 births. You know, we're more than double places like Singapore, Sweden. We have to get way down. Under 4 is my goal by the end of the decade. And then I think another one, which is sort of silent, I often call it a silent killer. We have a very high adolescent mortality rate, kids between 10 and 24. We have 60 per 100,000 kids being killed in that age group, way higher than the next country, which is New Zealand. We have to drive that down. We have to treat our adolescents much better. You know, I am the son of a pediatrician, and focusing on kids is something that obsesses me, and I think our healthcare system needs to do a better job of focusing on the health of our children, whether it's infant mortality or adolescent deaths. Those are really measures of how we treasure our kids.
What are the mega trends in healthcare? We will ask Dr. Zeke Emanuel, author of Reinventing American Healthcare, when the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns.